In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Please be seated. Today, this second Sunday after Easter, is so often called Good Shepherd Sunday, as our epistle states, through the words of Blessed Peter, that Christ is the shepherd of our souls, and we were like wandering sheep who have gone astray. And if any of you have seen the St. Andrew Missal, you will see that there is a wonderful illustration atop of this morning's readings, a picture of Christ with his sheep gathered around him. The sheep have gathered around their shepherd who came to give his life for them. He is theirs, and they are his. As our Lord has stated, I know mine, and mine know me. As the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And from such words, and this image of Christ standing in the middle of his flock, we are given a perfect picture of what the church should look like. The sheep gathered around their shepherd. And here, the faithful gather together in word and sacrament, whereby the body and blood of Christ, our shepherd and master, is given unto us. And as we partake of the divine mystery of the Eucharist, as we gather together in prayer, in song, we proclaim that not only has Christ risen from the dead, but that he is in our midst and ever shall be. But how often is it that we abandon this immovable truth the moment we walk out of the doors of the church? Sure, we can still call and think of ourselves as Christians when we step back out into the world, but are we? Are we really? Listen to what the book of Acts, chapter 2, has to say about what it means to be a Christian. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. Moreover, listen to what Father George Florosky, a well-known Orthodox priest and theologian of the 20th century, has to say regarding what it means to be a Christian. As he says, Christianity, from the very beginning, existed as a community. To be Christian meant just to belong to the community. Nobody could be Christian by himself as an isolated individual, but only together with the brethren, in togetherness with them. Christianity means a common life, a life in common. His words and the words from Acts chapter 2 coincide very neatly with that before mentioned image of Christ and his sheep gathered around him, don't they? Because that is what Christianity looks like. And the words which we have heard from Max and Father George are what Christianity is. And so again, the question bears repeating. Are we really Christians? Do we make an effort to reach out to one another throughout the week? Scripture tells us that our close circle of friends ought to be the people sitting beside us right now. But is that the case? Are we truly together? Are we truly friends? Or just friends on Sundays? Are our true friends largely the people outside of these walls? And while I'm not telling you that you can't have friends outside of the church, What I am telling you is that these people here ought to be your friends too. Closer friends even. Because what unites you is Christ, of which there is no greater bond. And if that is not the case, then something is grievously wrong. Each era of church history battles its share of heresy. His father, Peter Cavanaugh, a Western Rite priest of one of our sister parishes in Wichita Falls, Texas, describes in an article which was recently published in the Word magazine that for centuries the church had to defend itself from heretical attacks, from persecution, and death even. But today, a more sinister heresy exists. The heresy of individualism. And I believe that he is 100% spot on. And the church as a whole and her members have been affected by it. And yes, let me be the one to bring you the news that the foe of individualism has even impacted our little church as well. You see, we are not immune. The greatest lie that individualism has accomplished is convincing the person that his or her life can be broken down into compartments, that it's what I do in the moment that defines me, or I'm at work, so I have to be this or that. But when I'm home or I'm out with my friends, I'm free to be who I truly am. But also, the heresy of individualism convinces the person that what he or she feels is right is paramount. It's the world through my eyes, so to speak, an attitude which has rapidly gathered traction with the emergence of social media. While not all of social media can be bad, I have to say that for many, it has gotten out of control. Case in point, even our own president feels that he has to continuously post things to be continuously relevant. But to a degree, the seeds of individualism have crept into our psyche. We want to be relevant. We want people to know what it is we're doing and how we're feeling or what we think. So often we share pictures or posts on Facebook and think that it is the same as sharing those things in person. It's almost become a disease to continuously post selfies, even pictures of what we are eating for dinner, mind you. And we think that we are truly sharing these things with people, that we're allowing people to see little windows into our lives. But what we're truly doing is posting something to our personal webpage and allowing others to choose if they want to view it or not, if they want to like it or not. We more or less share out of convenience. It is a sharing that has become impersonal. And to an extent, we have become impersonal with one another, even when we come together. This heresy of individualism has impacted our conversations with each other. Have you ever noticed the rubric for conversations these days? We ask a person how they are doing, and it's like we can't even wait for them to open up to us about the question before we want to interject or impose our own personal feelings on the situation. Instead of searching more out about that person, we make our reply more about us and how we're feeling. I know I'm guilty of it, but I've also been on the receiving end of it too, where a person has asked me how things are going, and before I can finish, the person starts telling me about how they're doing. We're trying to pose their own feelings to the question. And at that point, I have said to myself, gosh, Was that person really interested in knowing how I was doing? Or did they just want to tell me about themselves? This, too, is a byproduct of individualism. It is the wolf of the age, as our gospel asserts. It is the wolf that scatters the sheep. And if we are honest with ourselves, I think all of us can admit that we have allowed the seeds of individualistic thinking to impact our relationships with each other. To a degree, I believe that it has affected our personal opinions regarding the potential church property before us, which we will be discussing shortly hereafter. From past conversations, it seems like none is willing to budge from their decision, whether that is to explore the acquisition of the church or to dismiss it. Each has their own personal feeling about it. And I'm not here to say which is right or which is wrong. Only God knows. But what bears pointing out to you, by way of this morning's gospel, is that Christ is showing us that whatever decision we make, we need to make it together. We need a collective body. We need a collective agreement. After all, we are one fold and have only one shepherd. And so the question is not whether or not this property is good for me, but is it, and will it be good for the church? Will it ensure its survival? Will it give us an opportunity to grow? Is it where Christ wants us to be? And at the very least, this decision is meant to test our resolve with one another. It is meant to bring us together. Christ is trying to unite us through this decision, to bring us back into the fold, to reacquaint ourselves with one another, to see ourselves not as individuals, but as a collective whole united in Christ. Not just to bring before us a decision to stay here or go there, but to see where we are with each other. If we truly desire to continue to live out our faith with each other, if we truly consider ourselves to be the church, I pray that through all of it, we come out stronger in our faith and stronger in our desire to love God and to love one another with our whole heart. Through it all, may Christ be praised. May we rekindle those relationships with each other. May we return to the fold because it is Christ who is our good shepherd, who is calling us back to a place with Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.